like I said, talking about opening and shutting closed doors or opening doors from the Lord. So many times, you know, we need to pray, Lord, please open the door that's of you and shut the door that's not of you. And there's an area where we've got to get to where, because the Holy Spirit impresses us. Now, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in many ways, doesn't he? He impresses and he gives revelation through his word, through visions and dreams, through the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. And as we begin to discern and get more sensitive about what God is doing or wanting us to do, we begin to pray and we say, Lord, shut the door that's not of you and open the door that is of you. And sometimes he won't do that. Sometimes he'll do something that just does not make sense. I mean, it's just, what's up? You know? See, because one of the things the Lord doesn't want us to do is formulate him. When you begin to formulate God, forget it. He'll blow the covers right over your head that you think you had it all formulated. He'll blow your theology. Everything that you think that's all of the formulation is just, whoa, what happened? And he does that for certain specific reasons. And sometimes there's a rescue, sometimes there's a direction. And you got to remember he also has other individuals that must cooperate with his will. And there's been many times when I've asked the Lord, Lord, you know, you shared with me about this was going to happen, and all of a sudden this door shut. And he said to me, you know, you've got to wait on me because there's certain things that I'm dealing with, and sometimes my children are not being 100% obedient. And because of this not 100% obedient, he changes course on us. And he sometimes, what the direction that first started, he changes and gives us another direction. Not that the end goal will not be manifested or be completed, but sometimes there's another direction that we need to go through. And I just want to share a little bit about tonight about when God doesn't make sense. When God doesn't make sense, you know? Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Glory to God. When God doesn't make sense, I guess the question is it God that doesn't make sense or is it us that don't have any sense? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, can we read this together, please? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now check that out. Has he not made foolish the wisdom of this world? How many times you thought that your wisdom was just right? When you realize it was very foolish. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Now check this out again. It says that since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Do you know that the gospel is basically a message which is foolishness towards mankind's carnal mind? It's considered foolishness. How many times did somebody try to rescue you through the word? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I mean, we get people that call, that want to come to our discipleship house, and when we share with them about, in fact, we had a gentleman that called that says, I can quote any scripture, and I can do this, and I can do that. Thank God he was talking to my wife. She was very meek with him. And she something about, she said, yes, well, we cast out devils and pray in tongues and so forth. He just started mumbling and jumbling something. And he said, you mean something like this? And my wife said, well, you know, we speak in tongues and so forth. And the guy hung up, you know. So he was just mocking what was what. But he had supposedly been some kind of scholar. can't imagine someone being such a scholar and needing help. Hallelujah. So even though you may know the scriptures, it still may be foolishness according to the carnal mind. Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. So let's go on. Verse 22. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks what? Foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So let me say that again. Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. When Jesus was manifested in the natural realm, he not only brought the wisdom of God, but he brought the power of God because he was both. Does anybody understand that? Amen. That's why they thought he was foolish. They couldn't understand him. He was blowing everybody's theology. Oh, hallelujah. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. Now, check that out. The foolishness of God is wiser than man. Tell me Daddy doesn't have a good time watching what's going on. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, not that many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. How many times does the devil beat you down because you just don't know it all? Hallelujah. How about when the devil beats you down of where you've come from? Or about something you made a mistake on? Something you know you shouldn't have done and didn't do it. But yet, praise God, you knew what the right thing to do. Right? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now let me share this with you. When my wife and I were divorced for 3 years, and I was still out serving the devil, and when I got slam dunked in the Holy Ghost, and she was in New Mexico, and I was getting ready to go back to prison, because I had a mandatory minimum 4-year sentence to do. And I got on a plane and flew out to see her. And when I got off the plane, she poked me and said, "You're an alien. What happened to you?" She did not understand how God could choose an idiot like me. Here she was seeking all this New Age stuff, doing all this guru, you know, you know, inviting all these demons in and all the stones and all this. For years she's been seeking God. And all of a sudden, this person that destroyed her life, caused all the finances to go, broke up the family, was a delinquent. How could God choose this bonehead when she's been seeking so hard and so strong? See, God chose her. The thing is she wasn't listening. Hello? So he had to do something with me and send me back to tell her. Now, I became a sign and wonder. Oh, and I became a sign and wonder to everybody I ran across. Man, what happened to you? Praise God. No way. God wouldn't. God, yeah, right. I mean, I went back to some of my friends that I knew and said, "Listen, man, I had a visitation from the Lord. What do you want? What have you been drinking?" I mean, some of my old friends that I tried to share these things with, just, I mean, word got around was, "Hey man, guy has seen God. Stay away from him." Why? They couldn't understand that this foolish bonehead God would choose. Confound the wise. Some of my family members who are well educated, they couldn't understand it. Just doesn't make sense. What kind of God do you serve? They couldn't get it. Do you know we're all in this room because we've been all foolish at one time?
Amen.
And now we're crazy?
Yes.
We're crazy for Jesus. Amen. We're crazy because we love the truth. We're willing to do whatever it takes and whenever. And the world still can't comprehend that because they don't get it. God chose everyone in this room to become a sign and wonder. Not in your education, not in your degrees, not in what you know, but in what who you know. Amen? Everything changed. You know, it took a while because, you know, I mean, I was way out there, and even when the Lord restored my wife and myself, it still took a little time for her to earn my trust. Although she would come for counsel and then earn trust, you know. And it was a little bit difficult. It still blew her mind, especially when I asked her to write a tithe check and I wasn't working yet. Talk about a little problem. Wait a minute. How come I'm paying the rent and you're studying? Because God said so. Wait a minute, you're the one that lost everything. I'm back in the same house that was foreclosed on and restored. I'm paying the rent and tithes. And you're studying and going to prayer. Something just doesn't add up. And I would tell her, soon. Soon. Then she got slammed dunk in the Holy Ghost and things changed, praise God. But she was willing to do whatever it took, even though she didn't understand. She didn't get it. The one thing she knew, there was something different with this man that she was married to 8 years and then divorced 3 years, and now she's going to marry again. And it's like, whoa, they married me. And because God told her so. Hallelujah. In verse 30. In verse 29, that no flesh shall glory in His presence. Glory to God. It wasn't certainly anything that I did. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us what?
Wisdom.
Who became your wisdom? The Lord became your wisdom. Who became for us wisdom from God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Now that is pretty powerful, what we just read, because sometimes God just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. In fact, how many times have you seen these TV evangelists and said they're nuts? When you were in the world, you used to turn them off. Oh, they're out for money. That's all they ask for is money on TV. Give me another beer. You know. Turn the station. You know, whatever. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. What seems foolish to man, what it is, it seems foolish to them of what God is doing. You know. Christ became the wisdom from God for me and you. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. You know, even when you are trying to share with someone, even with the Word, if you try to bring them to the Word, they don't even believe the Word. So you can't really give them the Word. Do you know what I'm saying? You find someone, whatever, and you start talking with them, and you start sharing with them the Lord, and they'll say, well, and they say, yeah, man, the Word is will tell you the truth. They're like, I don't believe the Word. You know, but after they begin to see your witness, something begins to change in them. Like, man, what's going on? And it may take one little word from you to plant in them that will grow and bear fruit. Amen. That's all it takes, is one word. And it's really not from you, it's from the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8 and 9, would you read it with me? For the Lord says what? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are many ways, so are what? My ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. How many times have you really believed that God was doing something and you started to proceed with it, and all of a sudden, bam, the door shut? You know, maybe you're impressed about doing something and you, instead of praying about it, you just felt you should have done it. So you started to proceed and do it, and things just seemed to be going pretty good, and all of a sudden, and you're talking to the Lord, and you really, listen, God will even give you things that you ask for, you know. Does everybody understand that? Even when it's not His will. And then when you finally just get tired of what's going on, you've been struggling with what's happening, and it's like, you know what, I need help. And He's finally saying, praise, you know, He doesn't say praise God, but we say praise God. He says, finally, I'm willing to give you the help. Now let's shut that door. And we kick and scream and try and open it, and we blame God. Lord, why didn't you do this? Just, this doesn't make sense. How could you be with me this whole time and grant me these things, bless me with this, and then all of a sudden shut the door? You just don't make sense sometimes, Lord. And He's saying, no, my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours, and your thoughts are not always my thoughts, nor are your ways my thoughts, my ways. So you've been finally opening your heart enough to me where I'm going to move on your behalf, on my will. So let's just shut this door and start another direction. Oh, man, we have a hard time with that sometimes. Woo-wee! Wait a minute here. Then it's like, what did I do wrong? Then the devil starts beating you up. Amen? Now, you got to remember something. God isn't going to answer you on every specific thing because there are certain things He expects you to do, especially things that you've learned from already. There are certain things that He expects you to do. He expects you to depart from evil. He expects you to hate evil. He expects us to be submissive. He expects us to pray. There's certain things that He expects us to do. If you see somebody on the side of the road bleeding, you don't need to pray about anything, believe me. You need to do something. When you come to a red light, you don't need to pray whether you should stop, right? Those are things that you should know. His ways and thoughts are higher than our comprehension. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. How many times you really think that you're doing everything right and God should move on your behalf? But I'm doing everything right. But are you asking Him for His perfect will? Well, yes. How many times, listen, you don't realize how many times that God shut a door in your life to rescue you from destruction. And man, we kick and scream wanting that door open. That's when I see those big binkies from heaven fall down. You know what those binkies are, those baby binkies? Pacifiers. Thank you. I'd like to have one room filled with them. We could have the Binky of the Week award, you know? Big pacifier. Hallelujah. 147. Starting at verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Were we outcasts? Hallelujah. He heals the brokenhearted. Have you been healed? Praise God. And binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is what? Man, let me tell you something. When you think you understand God, He just changes everything. The Lord lifts up the humble and He casts the wicked down to the ground. Let me share something with you again. God will not be formulated. He will not be formulated. Has everybody got it? When you try to formulate God, He just changes course. And He changes course on purpose. You know why? So you'll chase Him and not the formula. Yes. Now, we're disciplined to do certain things, aren't we? Because discipline puts the flesh and mortifies the flesh so that you can have communion in the Spirit. His understanding is infinite. In other words, it's basically unreachable. Has everybody got it? You can't understand God in every area. What He allows us to understand is a blessing. You know, when you and I get home, we're going to find out that a lot of the stuff that we've been learning and walking in and whatever, there was a much greater understanding to this that was right in front of our faces, and we didn't get it. What a Proverbs 3. Oh, hallelujah. In verses 5 and 6. Would you read it with me? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know why sometimes the Lord just doesn't make sense? Because He changes course on us because He doesn't want you to lean on your understanding. He wants you to trust in Him. He wants you to trust totally in Him. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him. In your ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, listen, no matter what you're doing, constantly acknowledge Him. And He shall what? Direct your path. The question that we always have and what brings us to that place is, wait a minute, I've done all this, now when? When are you going to direct my path? Now, I'm not saying that the Lord can't show up and say, do you go this way? I've had things like that happen to me. You can have a dream or a vision, and he's going to say, go this way. And then there's a delay. There's that delay. And then there's that delay. And then there's the delay. It's not divine intervention. It's delay. It's like, where are you? What are you doing? I don't understand this. Now, I've asked that you guide my steps, guide my way, establish my steps, open the door, shut. I've done every prayer possible, and I'm still don't know. I don't understand. What are you doing? Trust me. And you can start smelling your flesh then afterwards, you know. You hear from heaven, trust me. Lord, why don't I understand? Why don't I get this? Trust me. Just trust me. Don't lean on your own understanding. He's not a formula. Can't understand why someone doesn't see or get what you get. Get what you want, right? Sometimes He just doesn't make sense of why, when, and where, does He? Even when He sends people across our path, We don't understand sometimes whether they're there to assist, whether they're there to witness, whether they're there to, you know, do something, whether it be a job or labor together or whatever. Sometimes there's, you just don't know yet. And this is where you have to trust. You have to trust when to move, when not to move on it. And of course, we know here that when you don't know what to do, you don't do anything. And God honors that even more. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. We'll show a few examples in the Word. When God doesn't make sense. I guess it's why doesn't God make sense sometimes. But it's really not God who doesn't make sense, is it? It's us. See, what the devil tries to do during this period of time, the Lord is trying to bring you to a place of total trust, and the devil tries to bring you reason. Right? I mean, think about this. Here's Adam and Eve in the garden. The Lord says, okay, now listen. You can eat of all the trees in here, but this one you can't. Now, why would God put a tree in there that he told them they couldn't eat? I mean, talk about a stumbling block. You know? But he gave them free will. And here's the serpent in the garden that hates mankind. He lost his position to Adam. God's loving on Adam and Eve, and there's a serpent there going, oh man, I can't stand them. And the Lord put the serpent in the garden with them. His ways are much higher than ours. He knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? But you know what? What happened to Eve? She began to reason, didn't she? She couldn't hold on to the place what God had said. Amen? She went a step further. See, the first problem she had was actually communicating with the serpent instead of departing from evil. The Lord said, don't eat that. There was no reason to even hang around that tree. I'm surprised Adam didn't put a gate around it, you know? I mean, he had the wisdom. Could have put a sign up. Praise God. No trespassing. Wrong path, something. No touch. And Luke 24. In verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together, these are two disciples, of all these things which had happened. So it was while they were conversing and reasoning, hello, that Jesus himself drew near and went to them. In verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, cool, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened in these last days? And he said to them, what things? And he said to them, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in God, and word before God and all the people. Do you notice he said he was a prophet? These two disciples did not acknowledge him as Christ. They acknowledged him as prophet. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we are hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. So then he said to them, O foolish ones. Hello. O foolish ones. You know what? They didn't get it. God was not making sense to them. He said, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to a village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone no further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Now, come on now. What sense did that make of what God did? He was cruising with them, talking with them, didn't let them know who he was. They sat down and broke bread. All of a sudden, they realized it was him. I'm sure they had a gazillion questions, and he disappears on them. You know, it just didn't make sense, did it? But he had a purpose, didn't he? He had a purpose. I mean, understand this. They didn't even realize that he was imparting in them and giving them understanding of all the scriptures and everything that was supposed to be fulfilled the whole time. The whole time here, he was walking with them, talking, giving them the revelations of the scriptures, because it even talks in here, they said, yes, even our hearts were burning of the things he was saying, you know. And then he reveals himself to them, and he disappears. You know, I had my encounter with the Lord. And in my encounter with the Lord, it was like, as it was going on and going on, my thoughts were, man, everybody needs to know about this. You know, it was like, once the encounter was over, man, I wanted to go tell everybody. And I thought, man, I wish I would have stayed there longer. You know? It's too bad I couldn't stay there like a couple days. You know, it would have been wonderful. But it didn't happen that way. It happened very quick. Go to Jeremiah 18. So he said, you know, slow of heart to believe. Of course, he hid himself from them. It didn't make sense to them. You know what he did? One of the things he did is he tested them and challenged them, didn't he? He tested them and challenged them to see where they were at, see if they were going to believe. How many times has God tested and challenged you? In jobs, relationships, commitments, sacrifices, obedience, and trust. How many times has he challenged you? Jeremiah 18. Glory to God. Starting at verse 1, and a word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, read it with me, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Oh, hallelujah. Welcome to the potter's house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. The wheel represents the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. So things seem to be going right, but you don't realize you're getting a little bit prideful. You don't realize that you're getting a little puffed up on what you know. You're beginning to backslide from your relationship with the Lord, and you're not seeing things through according to what God is trying to show you. All of a sudden, slam. What is he doing? Well, he's just slamming you. He's breaking you to remold you. Does everybody understand that? You know, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But see, he sees things through more than we do.
Yeah.
He sees it all, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Nothing is hidden from him.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. In verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? O total freedom, true ministry, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look at the clay, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of true ministries. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. Now, if that nation or if that person, hello, whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Does everybody understand it? So sometimes there's things that you and I are picking up that what seems to be right, all of a sudden we begin to get puffed up, begin to trust in our own strength, begin to go over the boundaries of limitations that the Lord has given us. And you know that God has given you boundaries and limitations? Every single person has boundaries and limitations that God has imparted in you. And when you go over them, what He told you He was going to do, He won't. Hello? And when you turn from it, then He'll rescue you from the destruction that's about to happen. When you begin to go over the boundaries and limitations that God has given you, you're walking in the presence of darkness. You're associating with the kingdom of darkness. Do you remember when Elijah sent his servants out? He said, listen, don't talk to nobody. Go there and come back. When Jesus sent his disciples out, He would send them out what? Two by two. Amen? He talks about being a good steward. I mean, the whole dynamic of everything that we want is to be able to enter in. And He says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen. That's why the Bible says, for much is given, much is required. See, He has set up boundaries for me and you. And when we go across those boundaries, we walk in disobedience. Because He just says in this one, would you read this with me? In verse 10. If it does evil in my sight, so that it, what? Does not obey my voice. Do you understand that not obeying the voice of the Lord is doing evil? Then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Oh, hallelujah. When you begin to go over those boundaries, we have a wonderful teaching called, what's it called? Boundaries of Worldliness. Thank you. When you go over those boundaries, now there's a difference between going an extra mile. Hello. But then there's boundaries of limitation that God has given us. Boundaries of responsibilities He's given us. When you go over your responsibilities, you begin to lose the trust of the Lord. In other words, you may pick up more burdens than what God is asking you to pick up. Amen. So many people want to try to do everything. Me. I want to rescue everyone. I want to do everything. Paul said, I became many things that many could be saved. But the Lord has to pull my reins back. And He says, listen, don't go over those boundaries. This is what I gave you. I did not give you that responsibility. Now drop it. Whew. Okay. Does everybody understand that? See, once we begin to know and understand certain things, we begin revelations, and we know sometimes His unction, and we begin to hear His voice, and next thing you know, He's not speaking, and you're still hearing a voice. And He's wanting to know if you're going to follow Him or that voice. Amen? Amen. And next thing you know, you're going over the boundaries. And then all hell's breaking out. And you're being attacked and all kinds of stuff. God doesn't make sense. Doors are shut and doors are open and you don't know which one to go. And all there's confusion, frustration, and torment. Then you're overwhelmed. And you're like, I can't do this. You're right. You weren't supposed to from the beginning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. If it sounds like I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm really speaking in English, it's because we want to get it all on the tape. Just start interpreting. And just don't write in tongues. Nobody will be able to read your notes. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okie dokie. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 33. Would you read it with me? Verse 33. 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is not the author of confusion. Who is? Amen. The powers of darkness. Hello. So like I share with you, when you start going over these boundaries and border lines that God has given us, and you start picking up more responsibilities than you're supposed to, all of a sudden this opens door to demonic activity. And there's confusion that steps in. You don't know what to do, where to go, and why isn't God doing this? And now you're in anxiety, stress, fear, worry. Well, he just pulled you from one bait to the next, didn't he? And God is just sitting there waiting. When are you going to trust me? When are you going to trust me? When are you going to seek me? When are you going to cast that burden, that care on me? Oh, hallelujah. That's when we start turning into Marthas instead of Marys. Well, maybe if I do this... And maybe if I just, oh, God, this doesn't make, you know, I've been doing all, what? It just doesn't make sense. Maybe I can work my way into earning this. Maybe if I do more of these things, and God will earn my, I'll earn God's trust, and then I can get this done. There's a lot of I's involved there, isn't there? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God is not the author of confusion, man is. Because they yield to the serpent. First Corinthians chapter 2. Glory to God. Verse 13. Is everybody alright? Glory to God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, not carnal things with carnal things, not common sense with common sense. We have a tendency that when we don't understand what God is doing, we look in the carnal arena. We try to use our natural common sense, which doesn't work. And He won't allow it to work. Believe me, there's times when God's going to shut everything down. And you're not going to know what to do. You know why? Because He wants you. He wants you. Nothing seems to be going right. Praise God. How can this happen to me? Why am I the only one? Well, it was me. In verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot understand when God doesn't make sense. Does everybody understand that? The carnal man can't understand when God doesn't make sense. See, now this is powerful because sometimes it's not for you to figure out. You're only to trust. And sometimes it's to seek out the truth of what God is doing. But let me explain this again. The natural man cannot, the carnal mind cannot understand when God doesn't make sense. But the mind of the Spirit understands when God doesn't make sense. He knows what to do. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. We'll see. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Praise God. Psalm 37 and verses, starting at verse 1. Read this with me, please. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Say that again. Feed on His what?
Faithfulness.
Feed on His what?
Faithfulness.
That's where He's going to put you. He's going to ask you to feed on His faithfulness when there's nothing else available. You must feed on His faithfulness. Oh, Lord, I don't know where You are. I don't know what to do, but You know the circumstance I'm in. Oh, I need an answer from You. I need to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, where to do it. Oh, Lord, you know, it just doesn't make sense. How did You get me in this anyways? I was doing everything right. In my own understanding, in my own thoughts, in my own ways. What's up? Trust Me and feed on My faithfulness. Now, let's check this out. Remember when Moses, when the Lord called Moses, He said, Moses, You're My deliverer. I'm going to send You out. He was like, what? I can't even speak. I mean, he spent 40 days with God and still said, this doesn't make sense.
Amen.
Hello? Still tried to get out of it. And God gave him what he wanted, didn't he? He used Aaron to be his mouthpiece. Here the man spent 40 days with God. Didn't eat, didn't drink. He fed him. The Lord fed him. He didn't need air. He didn't need nothing. You know that? He didn't even need oxygen. He didn't need anything. He was in the glory of God, where life was sustaining him, where he came from. He left 40 days and he still didn't want him to speak. How could You choose me? Shoo! Feed on His faithfulness. When it doesn't make sense, commit your way to Him and wait. Don't get caught up in jealousy, anger, or bitterness. Don't compare yourself or be anxious. Those are the ploys the devil tries to put you in. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. I mean, you know, if you go through the Word, and you even some of the men and women of God that God used, I mean, you know, strange things happen. I mean, look at Samson. The Lord brings Samson into the world, right? He makes covenant with Samson. He says, listen, here's what's going to happen. If you cut your hair, you're going to lose your power. Right? If you cut your hair, you're going to lose your power. You know how many people tried to copy Samson in those days? Many. They tried to copy Samson. But it just would, it doesn't make sense, does it? It's just, but God is God. There's times when He's not going to make sense to me and you. And He does it on purpose. See, because He doesn't want us to be formulating. He doesn't want us to just be caught up in the things that we learn. He wants us to be caught up in Him.
Amen.
And only Him. Hallelujah. And verse 5. It says what? I started at 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. That's why we're supposed to count it all joy, even when you don't understand. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
What does it say? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the peace of God, in other words, here's something that bypasses understanding. God's peace. That's something that bypasses understanding. Well, you know, when you're at peace, you're feeding on His faithfulness and you're in trust and you're in wait. You're not in anxiousness. You're not in stress. You're not in fear. You're not in concern. You're dead. Hello? Yeah, but you're alive again. Dead men don't speak. Dead men don't reason. Dead men don't question. Oh, hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. Now look at what else it says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. Meditate on these things. In other words, get your mind off the circumstances and off everyone else. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians. Or 1 Chronicles. I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles. Chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And verses 1 to 3. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. In other words, he conned David. He convinced him to disobey God. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me and that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Even his servants knew something wasn't right. Why then does my Lord require this? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Now he was warned, wasn't he? And David still proceeded. Why? Because he got convinced and conned by the serpent. It says Satan rose up against Israel. But he had to go to the leader, didn't he? So to affect Israel. Now look at what happens in verse 9. Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. Man, it just didn't make sense. I mean, this was, you know, the Lord placed David as king. You know, David was a humble man. When he blew it, he repented. But this time the Lord wasn't going to allow anything to happen. He was going to send disasters to Israel. And he said, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now, you know, first of all, when he said something coming from the Lord, there's three things happening from the Lord. There's one thing happening from each one. 3 years of famine, right, for the one, or 3 months of defeat by your foes, by the sword. Now the Lord comes in and says, 3 days of the sword of the Lord, plagues in the land, and the angel of the Lord is going to come and destroy. Now, the natural man would say, I'm out of here. I'll just move to Japan. Now, consider what I answer. Consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. That didn't make sense, did it? This is... the man God created, David, who is after the Lord's heart, who God placed as his king to oversee his people, who he loved, David, but the Bible says the Lord chastens those he loves. He was teaching David a lesson, but the carnal mind just couldn't get it. And David said to God, I am in great distress, no kidding. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of the man. And that's what the Lord wanted. He wanted that answer right there. That proved David's faith in the Lord, his faith. Now, David was eating on what? God's faithfulness, wasn't he? It was a rough choice. He was eating on the Lord. He was getting fed on the Lord's faithfulness. Praise be to God. Everybody get that? Get it. Buy the tape. 1 Samuel 13. 1 Samuel 13. Oh, the challenge of the Lord. Has the Lord been challenging you? Does it make sense? Glory to God. Maybe you're on that wheel, being molded, being marred. You keep stepping off that wheel and God can't finish what he's trying to do. Maybe he's still working on phase one. You haven't gotten to phase three yet because you keep getting off the wheel. I just don't understand it, Lord. It just doesn't make sense. Get on the wheel. Let me finish what I started. 1 Samuel 13. Glory to God. And verse 5. And the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in a multitude. And they came up and camped in Michmash to the end of Bethaven. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over to the Jordan, to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was still in Gilead and Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Oh, how many times has the Lord brought you right to the end? He says, this is what's going to happen. And it's like, it's that day, it's that moment, it's that time, and you think, this is it, what's going on, where are you, God? It just doesn't make sense. How could you allow these people to be frightened, and all of these armies encamped around us, and all of these things? I mean, we're about to be killed, where are you, God? Why are you delaying? Feed on my faithfulness. I know this doesn't make sense to you. I think sometimes I hear the Lord tell me, die. Guy, die. Alright. So Saul said, verse 9, bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering. I mean, come on. Samuel shows up. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? What have you done, Saul? Saul said, well, when I saw that the people were scattered from me, you know what he got caught up in? People pleasing. Oh, yeah. And that you did not come within the days appointed, that the Philistine gathered together at Michmash, whatever that is. Then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt what? Compelled and offered a burnt offering. Oh, how many times have you felt compelled to do something? Amen. That's that push. He got pushed. He was not led. See, he already knew what he was supposed to do, didn't he? But he couldn't. It wasn't making sense. God, what's going on? Wait a minute. This just doesn't make sense. But Saul was being tested, wasn't he? That's why God doesn't show up when he's supposed to. Does everybody understand that? He doesn't show up when he's supposed to, because he's going to show up when he's supposed to. Hello? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Saul moved without permission. First of all, he defiled because it wasn't his office. He went into another office he had no right to. And Samuel said to Saul in verse 13, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God which he commanded you. For now the Lord will have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Yeah. Go to Psalm 34. Glory to God. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? I hope so. Because let me share something with you. In these latter days, God is not going to make sense of many things. Much more. Remember, for much is given, much is required. It doesn't mean that you have to guess your way or assume your way when you already know the way. Hello? There's going to be times when there won't be an answer. There's going to be a time when there won't be revelation. There's going to be a time when there's going to be a delay. And you're just not going to know what's going to happen. I didn't get an answer for this. When I went to court, I didn't have an answer. But I was feeding on his faithfulness. And he made a way of escape. I wasn't going by my understanding or anything I've done. I didn't go by how much I fasted, how much I prayed, how much I knew. I had to get out of the way and let God be God. And whatever happened, I was going to be in joy. I didn't want to go to jail. It looked like the Lord was restoring all kinds of things, but whatever happened, happened. I just took my Bible to court. Didn't matter. Mandatory minimum 4-year sentence, and I walked out of that courtroom on a mandatory sentence. And to God be all the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 34. And verse 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, praise be to God. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Say that again. Blessed is the man who trusts. Say that again, would you? Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. In other words, reverence Him. The young, there is no what? Come on now, everybody say this. Come on now. Verse 9 again, start from the beginning. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him or reverence Him. Do you understand that? Sometimes God delays because we're in such want. The more you want, the more He delays. Come on, let that get into your spirit so greatly. The more you want, the more He delays. He'll put you back in that waiting room. Hallelujah. Until you get a new wineskin. Maybe more than one. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. That's a promise, isn't it? Praise God. Go to verse 19. Read it with me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Say it again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what? The Lord delivers him out of them all. out of them all. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 47. You know, God delights in delivering His children. Sometimes that's how, why He doesn't make sense and He delays and so forth. Lord, where are you? What happened? You're just not making any sense right now. Right, I'm going to have a good time delivering you. I think Daddy sometimes sets us up so we can get delivered. Psalm 47, verse 10. Read it. It says, be what? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sometimes we need to what? Oh, Psalm 46. I'm sorry. Psalm 46. Glory to God in verse 10. Be still and know that He is God. Glory to God. Psalm 45, I think. You know. Yeah, Psalm 45. Verse 10. Yeah, we already did that, didn't we? Now we're at 45:10. Yeah. Listen, O daughter, consider it, incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. Hallelujah. Forget it. And go on. Let God be in God and what He's doing with you right now. And your house will be saved. If you're trying to rescue your house, sometimes things get delayed. So the king will greatly desire your beauty because He is your Lord. Worship Him. Glory to God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Hallelujah. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. This is what happens when you get moved out of position. When the Lord doesn't make sense and you try and move without the Spirit. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into the ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to what? Deliver the godly out of what? Temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the what? Flesh, in the lust of uncleanliness, and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not what?
Understand.
How many times have you spoken evil of something you didn't understand and realize you were a real bonehead? And will utterly perish in their own corruption. Thank God for the blood, and you can come out of it quickly. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are what? Accursed children. They have forsaken the right way. In other words, they knew it. And they forsook it and turned this way. and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the sons of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, and a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Hallelujah. We don't need a donkey. We have the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's the Holy Spirit that speaks through the donkey. Amen? Go to Job, chapter 1. This is probably the most, when God doesn't make sense. Job chapter 1. In verse 6. This is not the employment section. I'll never forget it. When I first started reading the Bible, I said, man, job. Praise God, I got an employment section in the Bible. I knew this word had everything. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where did you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Come on, read it with me. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil? Now tell me the Lord didn't set up Job. Now I always share this with people, that if Job was in the throne room of God when this was going on, he was probably going, no, 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 you know. Please, Lord, no, don't set me up like this. He probably would have tried to change his name or whatever, you know. I'm not Job. I mean, come on, the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, set him right up. Didn't make sense, did it? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has ever had? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Oh. See, sometimes the devil is doing that on your behalf before God. How do you know the Lord hasn't said, have you considered my servant George? Even considered my servant Wade or AJ or David. Or have you considered my servant Mom? All right, have you considered my servant Guy? All right, okay. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that is his, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job, said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now Job had a rough day. It didn't make sense. He was the righteous servant of the Lord. How could God allow that to happen to his righteous servant? Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. Hallelujah. And he said, now let me share something with you. This is how Job responded when the Lord didn't make sense. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's how the Lord Job responded. In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with the wrong. In fact, let me share something with you, very important. God used Job to get to Satan. Because Job's uprightness and uprightness. Satan hates anyone who walks upright. He hated Job because of that. God used Job to kick butt on Satan. Because the Lord knows that everything is in His time. The Lord's going to kick butt on Satan in at the end. So He used Job to do it for Him in the meantime. You know, He wants to use you to kick butt on Satan too. So when God doesn't make sense, when things seem to be going all kinds of happenings and whatever, of course we need to search out the things. We need to make sure that we don't have accursed items, that we're not doing things wrong and so forth. And when you search out everything and everything seems to be cool and you're just still being things that are happening and it just doesn't make sense, no, God's using you to attack the devil. Does everybody got it? The Bible says that we're to be ready in season and out. Even though sometimes it seems like way out of season. So you've been offended, so this has happened. Whatever is going on. When God doesn't make sense, why am I being persecuted? I didn't do anything to this person. I'm being persecuted. Praise God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. God is trying to use you to get to Satan and to be an example or maybe to expose. You don't know. But when God doesn't make sense in your life, wait on Him. Seek Him. Do the right thing. Remember, He's not against you. He's with you. Always. No matter what. You're covered. You're coveted. And you're established complete and perfect in Him. Just because you don't get your way, don't go your way. Stay in His way. But get out of His way. Amen? Amen? Is everybody all right? Did you get it? Why? Why is this message coming forth? Because we must be prepared because so many things are about to happen. And you know, we get caught up so much that sometimes we can't hear God and it doesn't make sense. Just do it. Just do it. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight and we promise to give You all the glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we just ask for Your forgiveness of every time we've blamed You or wronged You or questioned Your authority over us and what You choose us to do. Lord, we commit all things to You. We thank You, and Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one in here tonight, Lord, and I know that we'll all be tested. So as we're tested, Lord, we're going to feed on Your faithfulness and bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name.